You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
This is Marianne Call at the pub with the Boston Skeptics, and you're listening to the Flopcast.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 382.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes, hello, Cornflake.
Hey, we're back. Hi, Kevin.
Hi. It's DragonCon weekend as the show comes out.
Yeah.
I'm at DragonCon.
We're back on this recording, but we're not back right now.
I think we're recording this in advance.
Yep.
Hopefully things are good at DragonCon. Hello, DragonCon people, if anyone's listening to this show because you just discovered us.
Welcome.
Next week's show, hopefully, if we stay on track, next week's show will be a DragonCon review. I think, maybe.
Don't count on us to stay on track, but we're going to try.
You never know what's going to happen. It'll either be next week's show or the one after that. We'll be breaking down everything at DragonCon, I think. But this week's show, right now, is going to be largely 80s themed and largely music themed.
Right.
Because, yikes, we do enjoy the 80s and the music of the 80s around here.
That we do.
So that's the plan. But first, how about your signature Flopcast segment, Cornflake? You do this every week. What's going on for National Whatever Day?
National Whatever Day!
Kevin, I'm celebrating an entire week. Okay. I picked a week instead of a day.
Yes.
And you know what it takes to celebrate for an entire week?
Alcohol.
A lack of good sense.
They go hand in hand, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they do.
See, we're both right.
Yeah, but it takes enthusiasm.
Oh,
that's
sure.
That's what I'm getting at.
Okay.
And starting September 1st through September 7th, it's International Enthusiasm Week.
Wow.
A whole week of enthusiasm.
Do you think you can be so enthusiastic this week that it will become a problem to those around you?
I know I can.
Challenge accepted.
What are you trying to put me up to here? That is completely within my realm of capabilities.
Yes.
Just ask any of my grade school teachers. I feel ready.
Excellent.
Yes.
Do you feel ready for the year 1982?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this now.
Yeah, well,
this has been fun.
What we do is every time we hit these 80s episode numbers, this is episode 382 of the Flopcast. And so we're looking at 1982. We're so obsessed with the 80s.
Would you say we're enthusiastic about the 80s?
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah.
So this is our big chance.
Let's be enthusiastic about 1982.
Yeah, all right. Well, same format we've been using for the last couple of weeks. Number one movie this week in 1982.
Lady and the Tramp.
That's an interesting pick.
I have no idea.
I think that's a little earlier. Maybe yeah. They re-released it in 82. They used to re-release those cartoon movies.
Yeah, it's possible.
But it happened again. This has happened every week so far that we've been doing this. The number one movie is a movie that I did not see in 82. And in fact, I've never seen it. And just like last week the number one movie was An American Werewolf in London. And it knocked Raiders of the Lost Ark out of number one. But then Raiders came back. Raiders kept popping in and out of being number one all year. And that happened again in 82. The movie that was really dominating the whole year and kept jumping in and out of the number one spot was E.T.
Right.
E.T. was so massive that year. I remember everyone just freaking out over that creepy little alien munching on the Reese's Pieces.
You know, I might like him now that I've been introduced to Meathead.
I remember that you're not a big fan of E.T., but yeah, maybe compared to Meathead, the alien in Meatballs 2, now you love E.T.
Quite possibly.
But E.T. was not the number one movie this week. It was An Officer and a Gentleman. You ever see that?
No.
I have not seen that either. It was Richard Gere and Deborah Winger.
Okay.
Deborah Winger I know as Wonder Girl.
Right.
Back on Wonder Woman in the 70s. And Richard Gere I just know from being Richard Gere and being around. So yeah, I'm 0-3 on number one 80s movies for our 80s episodes.
I'm excited to see when this trend breaks.
Yeah, this cannot keep up. At some point we're going to get to movies that you and I have actually seen.
Yes.
As we get deeper into the decade. But switching over to music, Once again, I have the top 10 songs from this week in 1982.
I'm ready for it.
Well, let's do it. Counting them down, we're going to start at number 10, you know, Casey Kasem style, with Take It Away by Paul McCartney. Not his greatest work. It was just sort of a goofy pop song, which he did a lot of. A lot of goofy pop out of Sir Paul McCartney.
But, it was fun.
Yeah, Take It Away. It's not a song I've thought about much in a long time, but I definitely remember it. Number 9, Wasted on the Way, Crosby, Stills, and Nash. I'm assuming this is their final top 10 song.
Yeah, commendable.
Because you don't really think of them as an 80s act. You think of these guys from the 60s and 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly not the 80s. I saw them in the 90s. I saw Crosby, Stills, and Nash live.
Were you at Woodstock or something?
I was at Late Night with David Letterman.
Oh.
I went to see a taping of the Letterman show, and the music guest that night was Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And they came out, played a song. Not a song anybody remembers, because this was like a new Crosby, Stills, and Nash song in the 90s. But here we have them in the top 10 in the 80s, Wasted on the Way. Number 8, here we go, Go-Go's.
Yep.
Vacation.
Okay.
We love those Go-Go's.
Yes.
One of the all-time great summer songs.
Yeah. You can always bring on the Belinda.
We like Belinda Carlisle. They do some water skiing in the video. Not convincingly.
Right.
It seems to have been orchestrated in a TV studio.
That's about the only place I'll water ski.
When they're all lined up on their water skis. Number 7, John Cougar, Hurts So Good.
Not bad.
I think this was before he tacked on his actual Mellencamp last name. He was still just going by John Cougar at this point. Number 6, this is a fun one. Melissa Manchester, You Should Hear How She Talks About You.
I remember this song.
That was a big one. Yeah, Melissa Manchester. What happened to her? I don't know. She had massive songs. Don't Cry Out Loud was her other really big one.
Yeah.
This was a fun one, though. Kind of a bouncy, goofy pop song. Number 5, here we go. Here's our guys again, Cornflake. Air Supply, Even the Nights Are Better.
Everything is better with Air Supply.
We're about due for another Air Supply concert.
I would agree.
It's been a couple of years. I feel like I've been showing great restraint by not going to see Air Supply every time they come around. Because they tour just constantly.
Yes.
Like, they've done a few shows in this area since the last time we saw them.
They're calling to you.
But I'm just trying not to run out to see them every single time, you know? Trying to reel it in with my love, my unabiding love of Air Supply. But they're going to get me. You know I'm going to go back one of these days.
Yes.
Number 4, Fleetwood Mac, Hold Me.
I like that song.
That's a good one. Number 3, oh, here we go. More soft rock. Chicago, Hard to Say I'm Sorry.
Aww.
This is the no fooling around Peter Cetera soft rock era of Chicago.
That's right.
I love all those super sappy soft rock Chicago songs.
I especially like that one.
And last year we went to a Peter Cetera concert and he did them all for us.
Yes, for the glory of love.
He did it all for the glory of love. Yes. Karate Kid Part 2. Number 2... Survivor, Eye of the Tiger.
Inescapable.
You cannot get away from Survivor.
Nope.
This is from Rocky 3, of course. It's Rocky versus Mr. T. I remember that I was talking to some kid who had seen Rocky 3 and told me there was a different theme song. And I was baffled. Like, I had not heard Eye of the Tiger yet. And I was so confused. How could they not use the classic Rocky music? And of course they do. The regular Rocky theme
it's in there.
Is in the movie. But also, now we've added Survivor.
Right.
Eye of the Tiger. Then in Rocky IV, you get another Survivor song. They just kept going. But Survivor, that's another band. More songs than people remember.
Yep.
Because everybody just knows this one song. And there's a pile of Survivor songs. They were sort of Journey light. They have a lot of very Journey-ish songs, which were quite good.
Yes.
Good stuff. Now, the opposite of good stuff, sad to say. Number 1, now we have a problem.
Oh, no.
Number 1, Cornflake. Is a Steve Miller Abracadabra.
Oh.
You know I can't stand Steve Miller. This is, I mean, every Steve Miller song is stupid. This one
is a stupid and offensive song.
Everything about it is a problem. The chorus. Remember the chorus?
Yes. I want to reach out and grab you.
He's rhyming abracadabra with, yeah, I want to reach out and grab you. He then proceeds to rhyme abracadabra with abracadabra.
Yep.
He just says it one more time. Come on. It's a horrible rhyme. It's an inappropriate line. And then just says the word again.
I'm guilty of not completely hating this song, Kevin.
Wow. All right. Well, I'll hate it enough for both of us.
The thing is, even though I dislike it, I know that I can't hate it nearly as much as you do. So I can tolerate, like, if it ever comes down to, like, one of us has to go into a chamber and tolerate Steve Miller to save us all.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
Wow.
I'll take that bullet, Kevin.
What are the chances that this is actually going to happen? Like one in three?
I just never know.
You never
Nowadays,
know.
Nowadays, you just never know.
That's true.
But I would take a Steve Miller bullet for you.
Things do just keep getting weirder, don't they?
So that's how you know I'm your friend.
Well, thank you.
You're
thank
welcome.
You for enduring Steve Miller and saving us all so that I won't have to. Well, I have some more 80s music talk. I have a concert report for you, but you had a little something else for us before we get to that?
It's kind of Cornflake on the Road.
More Cornflake on the Road?
But this time, specifically, it's Cornflake on a Ship.
Okay.
Yes.
That's hardly a road at all, is it?
No, it isn't. I did have to go on the road to get to this ship, and it wasn't just any ship, Kevin. It was a pirate ship.
You were on a pirate ship?
Yes.
Recently?
I've never been on a pirate ship before.
Okay. How did this happen?
Well,
was this an abduction?
More of a suggestion. And, you know, if you go out for one of these pirate ship tours, you'd be given a sword, an eye patch, a hat, scars, face painted on, and tattoos so that you can be one of the pirates.
So they set you up. You get on the ship and
you don't
just
even have to come prepared as a pirate.
Yeah. They fully outfit you.
Yes, they transform
like a pirate.
You.
Okay.
Yes, as you board.
I'm already out. There's no way I'm doing this.
This would be interesting. I get on the boat, and the boat sets sail, and the first thing we're told was to look off the left side of the ship, and we'll see mermaids. And sure enough, they're on the rocks. I'm looking, and there's a couple of mermaids there waving back at us.
Actual mermaids right off to the side of the boat.
Yeah,
wow.
Coral, and now I'm going to forget her name.
You learned their names?
Yeah, it was.
Were they close enough to introduce themselves and start talking to you?
Well, you could go and get pictures with the mermaids afterwards.
Okay.
So that was cool. There were a couple of mermaids there.
Were they like sirens luring you over to the rocks to smash the ship up and drown you?
Yeah, I was really afraid for a while that was going to happen.
Isn't that how that works? They lure you with the promise of a photo op?
Yes. We got distracted by some treasure that was being guarded at a dock by some other pirates. And so some pirates got off of our ship, battled the pirates that were guarding the treasure, and brought the treasure aboard. Those pirates then got in a motorboat and chased our boat.
Motorboat?
Yeah, they got in a motorboat. Bunch of pirates, and they circled our ship. It was, like, scary.
High tech for a classic pirating.
Yeah, these weren't just any pirates. These were pirates with a motorboat and super soakers. Yes, I took shelter at this point.
Pirate stuff has come a long way.
I went into where the bar on the ship was, and I waited it out.
There is a bar.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, blessedly.
Did you do this voluntarily, or was this court ordered?
It was court ordered piracy, Kevin. You caught me. But for once, I figured I would try being a pirate, and you know, I just don't cut it, but I'm glad I got the chance to try.
You did it. I got to say that the peg leg looks fantastic.
Oh,
you really that's
you.
Really committing to the role.
Well, I wasn't expecting to come back one leg short, Kevin, but the things you do for Cornflake on the Road. So there you go. For an hour and a half, I was being a pirate.
All right.
Arr.
Oh, no. We almost got through that without. All right, well, here's what I've been up to.
Okay.
I didn't tell you I was doing this.
No, this is news to me.
Secret 80s concert report. Now, you and I went to a big 80s concert last year.
Retro Futura.
The Retro Futura tour did not happen this year.
Oh.
But this other show was happening. It was not Retro Futura. There was a show called Lost 80s Live. And Retro Futura was sort of like B and C list 80s acts. I guess Belinda Carlisle was there, who would qualify as A-list.
Yeah, I would say.
Because we saw Belinda Carlisle and ABC.
And Lamal.
Yeah, then it kind of trickles down from there to Lamal. And
these were people with hits, not necessarily a lot of them.
Yeah, we like them all. But yeah, it's Modern English and the guy from The Outfield.
Right.
It was a nice show. But if that was largely B and C-list acts, Lost 80s Live is more C and D-list.
Oh.
We're getting a little more hardcore 80s. You've really got to want to see some pretty obscure 80s acts. And I thought, you know what?
It sounds like it could be great or it could be awful.
Yeah, Mayor Chickentown was away on important secret mayoral business, so it was just me. So I thought, all right, I'm just going to go to this really goofy 80s show. So off I go. But Cornflake, the show opens with Boys Don't Cry. This is, if you don't recognize the band name, they had one goofy novelty hit song, which was I Want to Be a Cowboy.
Yes! I think I've seen Sponge Awareness Foundation perform this.
Sponge Awareness Foundation performed this song. We opened a show by covering I Want to Be a Cowboy. And this was a crazy, wacky novelty song in 1986, I think.
Yeah.
Ridiculous video. And the guy just kind of talks the whole song in this weird monotone.
Which is why Ed sang the song, right?
That's what we did to catch the audience off guard. Yeah, normally a Sponge Awareness show, I'm in front with the microphone with my beautiful singing voice. And then we got Ed tucked behind the keyboard. Ed's doing all the music, you know? So we set up like that. We're about to start the show. And then suddenly we switched places.
I remember this.
I got behind the keyboard. Ed came out front. Ed had most of the music programmed into the keyboard, so I didn't have to do much. I knew which notes I could safely hit on the keyboard to not ruin it.
Right.
So I did a little keyboard playing. And yeah, Ed did a magnificent, I think better than the original.
Yes.
Yeah, Ed really made the song his own. And Ed did the lead vocals on I Want to Be a Cowboy. Anyway, that's how this show opens, this Lost 80s live show.
Don't think I've ever told you this, Kevin.
Yeah.
I thought that was a Sponge Awareness Foundation original.
You did not know the song.
I did not. Wow. No, I didn't.
What did you think happened to our band?
I was
a bold new direction for the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
I was kind of disappointed when I heard the real version stack up.
Well, I saw the real version live because here comes this guy. So I think they had sort of a house band assembled for two or three of these acts. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these acts, there's just one guy left.
Right.
From the original band. And that's the guy. Nick Richards is the writer and lead singer of I Want to Be a Cowboy. When we saw the Retro Futura tour last year, the bands were doing like maybe four songs each.
Yes.
You know, it was quick. A couple of these acts just did two songs.
Oh, wow.
They were shuffling acts on and off the stage really quickly at this show. And yeah, Boys Don't Cry, this dude Nick Richards comes out. He did two songs. He did one song that nobody knew, and then he did I Want to Be a Cowboy. I think he mentioned this might have been his first time in Massachusetts, or at least he hadn't been there in 30 years or something. They were a British band. He mentioned that he'd gone to see a Red Sox game the night before. So do you think they introduced him to the audience at Fenway Park before the game? Ladies and gentlemen, special guest in the audience, we have the guy that sang I Want to Be a Cowboy.
He's now singing the national anthem.
They should have had him sing the national anthem. Oh, wow.
I want to pledge allegiance.
Look how apparently at the very end of the list of who's going to sing the national anthem, they've run through everybody. We're down to the dude from Boys Don't Cry. Well, I enjoyed seeing Nick Richards from Boys Don't Cry live. He did his two songs. Then he's out. Next, they bring out a guy named Dave Sterry, who was the front man of an Australian band from the 80s called Real Life. This was the band that did Send Me an Angel.
Yeah, I knew that name.
That is a classic 80s pop song.
I like that song a lot.
Yeah, yeah. This was a good synth pop band.
Yes.
From the 80s. They did some good stuff. And they had a couple of hits. They had Send Me an Angel, and they had another one called Catch Me I'm Falling, which was also very good. Not Catch Me I'm Falling by Pretty Poison.
That's something different.
That's different. Although I can now say that I've seen both of those bands live.
Wow.
Yes. Because way back in the 80s, my goofy friend Matt and I did go to a Pretty Poison concert. But yeah, this guy was really good. David Sterry from Real Life. He did three songs. Up next, the only woman to set foot on stage all night, I believe, was Martha Davis. This was front woman of the Motels. Remember the Motels?
Yes.
Motels had two monster hit songs in the early 80s, Only the Lonely and Suddenly Last Summer. And these are songs that you know when you hear them, because she had a very distinctive voice.
And yet, I used to mix her up with Laura Branigan.
Oh, yeah. Laura Branigan. I love Laura Branigan.
Me too.
Yeah, well, Martha Davis is still out there doing her Motels hits. And I think these days, the Motels is Martha and a bunch of new guys backing her up. But she still sounds great. Martha was wearing, like, a hat, like sort of a cap, like Mary Tyler Moore kind of, you know, mm-hmm. the hat that she throws in the air and it freezes. At the end of the set, Martha took her hat off. And she just flings it into the audience.
Cool.
And leaves. A girl pretty close to me in the audience caught the hat and was very excited that she now had Martha Davis's hat.
That's neat.
During the intermission, I heard the girl talking to her friends, and I heard this girl report to her friends that the hat smells really good. So here's the question, though. Was this just a one-time whim on the part of Martha Davis, or does she get a new hat every day and fling it into the audience?
Can you tell by her throw? Like, does she seem to have a good arm on her?
Yeah, she like a rocket. I think she was actually pitching relief for the Red Sox the night before at the game that the Boys Don't Cry guy went to.
Yeah, quite possibly.
Yeah, she's got some heat.
My guess is that she routinely throws hats at
people. This is a regular thing. So next question. Does she go out and buy a hat every day in whatever town she arrives in, or does she travel with a suitcase full of hats? And the next question, in that case, are they identical hats, or does she mix it up from night to night?
Oh, so many questions, so few answers.
I have so many questions about Martha Davis and the Motels, nothing about their music. All my questions are about Martha's hats. And why do they smell so good?
Conditioner.
Does she have hair care secrets?
Yes.
That she's going to share with us?
BO5.
So that's the Motels. Up next, here's a weird one. When in Rome was a band which had one monster hit song in the late 80s called The Promise.
Which always makes me think of the end of Napoleon Dynamite now.
Great song.
Yes.
These guys come out. They're technically called Farrington and Mann because I think in America they don't have the rights to use the name When in Rome.
Wow.
Yeah, it gets very complicated. Sometimes these bands break up, you know, into rival versions of the bands and who owns the rights to the name. So I think they're called Farrington and Mann of When in Rome. But here they are. These are the guys.
Different name. Have to drive on a different side of the street.
It's very complicated. They have to dodge the hats being thrown by Martha everywhere they go from town to town. The When in Rome dudes, they just did two songs, including a pretty long version of The Promise. They kind of stretched out to a nice extended version. And they sounded good.
I like that song a lot.
That's a classic. That's a great song.
Yes.
Then things get kind of goofy after this. Up next, The Vapors come out. The Vapors, as in the year is 1980, and they had a crazy novelty hit song, Turning Japanese.
Oh, them.
These guys. This is the Turning Japanese guys come out, and these are really those guys. This isn't like there's one guy left. There's three guys left. Almost the whole original band is still touring as The Vapors.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? I had no idea. And they're good. This was a solid, like, power pop, new wave band.
Yeah, something tells me I think I would have liked to have heard more from those guys.
Yeah, I think they had some other hits in England, perhaps, although here in America, of course, we just know the one crazy, goofy novelty song.
Right.
One of them, their lead guitarist, I looked up and became a very successful director. Even recently, just a few years ago, he was directing episodes of Doctor Who, so it's like a real TV director, is also the guitarist in The Vapors. These guys have a lot going on, but you remember that song.
Is he also an outfielder for the Red Sox?
Everybody on this tour apparently was at Fenway Park the night before.
Yes,
he's playing left field, I think. That's the Vapors. Way better than you think they'd be.
That's cool.
Yeah, they were fun. Anyway, Cornflake, your headliners at the Lost 80s Live Tour. Again, not the biggest band from the 80s, but on this list, pretty big. And I guess that's why they went on last, or why he went on last, because I think this is one of those There's One Dude Left bands, but A Flock of Seagulls.
Yeah.
Comes out.
If you've got Flock of Seagulls, they're headlining.
That is your headliner. A Flock of Seagulls, absolutely classic 80s new wave band.
Weird hair?
The guy with the weird, crazy hair. That's what we most remember from Flock of Seagulls, is that video for I Ran So Far Away, and there's the guy with the hair. Well, that guy, Mike Score, he's still there. It was just two of them, I think. It was Mike Score on keyboards, and then he had a guy on guitar. But Mike, these days, because you wonder, what's the hair look like these days? What's he going to do when he comes out? Is he going to do the hair? You know, what's about to happen? He's gone totally the other way, completely bald.
Whoa.
Yeah, I guess he's thinking, how can I compete with what happened in 1982? And so, no more hair on Flock of Seagulls guy.
I don't know.
But he still looks cool. He came out in like a silver suit with weird sunglasses and completely bald. So that's still a look.
That's cool.
You know, did the hits. Because again, they had I Ran So Far Away. But a couple more that people remember from back then. Even in America, Space Age Love Song was a hit. And If I Had a Photograph of You as well. So we did those three plus one or two more. Flock of Seagulls. Or as we would call them, A Flock of Seabirds.
We would.
Because we're obsessed with seabirds.
less hair, angrier birds.
Yeah, that's what we're looking for. So isn't that a wacky lineup of 80s acts still out there?
So
that's your lost 80s live tour.
Are you feeling that this was a justified concert, or are you feeling any regret?
A lot of regrets. I regret that I didn't shove that girl out of the way so I could grab the hat from Martha Davis. If I'd known she was going to do that, I would have brought a big baseball glove, just like the guy from Boys Don't Cry was wearing at Fenway Park, and I would have been ready.
I would have loved to analyze it. Is it VO5? Is it Salon Selectives? Like she just stepped out of a salon?
You're going to catch Martha's hat and send it out to a lab. We'll figure this out. Well, that's the Lost 80s Live cornflake. What an 80s music-themed episode this turned into.
Yeah, it did.
But that's okay. Pirates and 80s music.
That's the Flopcast for you.
That's this week's show. You're welcome. Cornflake, get us out of here.
Okay. Flopcast.net is our website. Facebook.com/Flopcast is also where you'll find us on the internet. And at Twitter, our handle is @Flopcast, and on Instagram, @_Flopcast.
That's it. Well, have an enthusiastic week.
I will. The whole time.
The whole week.
And you rest up.
Next week, Dragon Con review, I think.
As a recap, I am very much looking forward to.
And 1983 review, definitely.
Nice.
See you there.
Peace and cookies.
Howdy! This year, the Earth Station One podcast will experience its favorite geek out moment with episode number 500.
That's over 9 years of nerdy pop culture reviews, interviews, and con reports.
Join the celebration with Mike and Mike each week on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite media player.
We can also be found all over social media or at ESONetwork.com. Peace.
And we're done. We're done.
Oh, hello, Cornflake.
Kevin.
This is the secret after show.
There's something I'm wondering about.
What's that?
You were talking
Martha
about...
Martha Davis's hat?
Well, I've put that aside for the moment. I'll come back to it, I know, because I obsess, but...
Yeah, we got to find that girl.
This show and the bands that you mentioned, all very interesting, but if it were up to you to put together a show of 80s C and D-list performers, who would you have picked?
Okay, if I was going to do like an 80s package show, and I'm going to go, my criteria is acts that I've never had a chance to see live.
Okay.
I think at the top of that list, I'm going to put Nana.
Yeah.
Nana. I love Nana. 99 Red Balloons.
Get her over here from Germany.
She's still around. She's in Germany. She rarely, if ever, comes over to America. And I would like to see Nana. So Nana's your headliner, I think. I want Irene Cara to come out of retirement and start touring again.
There you go.
We want to see Irene. I want to see her do her hit song, Breakdance.
Yes.
I don't care about Fame. I don't care about Flashdance.
We've heard those enough times.
I want Breakdance.
Yes.
And I want The Dream, her song from DC Cab. So that'd be good. Who else do we like? You can help me with this. Feel free to jump in with a...
Oh, are you sure you want me to help?
Give it a shot.
Boy Meets Girl?
Boy Meets Girl, Waiting for a Star to Fall?
Yes.
Sure. Okay. Let him in. I just saw Boys Don't Cry. Now I'm ready for Boy Meets Girl. That's a good one.
Enya. See, now you're going to regret asking me to help you with this.
Yeah. No, we can't. I don't think Enya's keeping in this. Enya transcends the 80s. Enya's not an 80s act. Enya is a all time and space ethereal, bizarre entity.
Well, I think of Orinoco Flow as an 80s phenomenon. Uh-huh. So, oh well.
Oh, Swing Out Sister?
Yes.
Do some Breakout?
Yes. Totally.
That'd be good. I'm sure we're forgetting really important people right now.
We need maybe like one more.
Yeah, we need one or two more. Wow, I really want to go to this concert.
Me too. How about, who sang Let's Hear It for the Boy? Denise?
Oh, Denise Williams.
Denise Williams.
Wow. Yeah, Denise Williams, absolutely. She could sing half of the theme to Family Ties.
Yes.
Her half.
Right.
Because I don't think Johnny Mathis is coming on this tour with her.
Sadly, no.
We need one more. One more.
Something more new wave, you
think? Yeah, I think. If you'd asked me this 2 years ago, you know, Sheena Easton would have been on the top of my list. Or Taylor Dane would have been on my list, but I've seen them now.
Who did Red Sky at Night?
The Fix.
And one thing leads to another.
Yeah, The Fix. I think The Fix is too big for this tour.
Yeah, I think you're right.
They would not return our phone calls.
Let's face it, none of these acts
yeah,
well, are.
But... Yeah, as if any of these people would. What am I thinking? Man, I want one more just ridiculous...
Yeah, because all of the, like, 80s one-hit wonders that I'm thinking of would not fit the bill.
Yeah, or we've seen them.
Right.
Oh, okay.
You got this.
Got it. We're done. Martika.
Yes!
Thank you.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at ESONetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.